This is the KNBR Podcast Network. Time now for Pauly's Podcast, featuring Pauly Mack of KNBR's Murph and Mack Morning Show on KNBR, the sports leader.
Okay.
Whoa!
There's my David Lee Roth. There's my Diamond David Lee Roth. Or my Paul Stanley, in honor of Pauly not being here. Hello, it's Creative Tony, a.k.a. Tony Ryan. I'm sorry. Hello, it's Tony Ryan, also known as Creative Tony, as Pauly likes to call me. With Shannon Kaler of the Stone Foxes, we are holding it down this week because Pauly driving his son up to college and is off for the week. So we are holding it down. And I wanted to do Paul Stanley because KISS has just announced some shows in Vegas. We did a contest all week. Pauly, actually, I've never heard Pauly more juiced to do, like, voice a promo than to voice this promo that we did for KISS. And so... you got the best, you want the best, you got the best, as Paul Stanley says, or Gene Simmons says. And, now here's Shannon Kaler. Hi, Shannon.
Oh, hello, Tone.
How are you?
I'm good. I just flew back from our first show. It was in Colorado.
And yeah, so buddy.
I got in at 11. I'm here. I'm
are
with
you.
A little
like road weary?
Oh,
a little...
man. I'm weary.
Rusty?
It was that we were playing at like 9,000 feet.
Crested Butte.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Colorado.
It was beautiful. It was a great show. But like taking a shot of tequila right before you go on and play at 9,000 feet, your head gets a little wobbly.
Wobbly, but I will tell you, you're doing your body, especially cardiovascularly, doing your body well.
By taking a shot of tequila?
Well, let me just tell you something, pal.
Okay.
And for our listeners might benefit from this.
Okay.
I see a cardiologist now annually, and because heart disease is in my family history. Shout out Dr. Jeffrey Guttis in San Mateo. But he told me that tequila is the number one healthiest spirit you could ingest.
That's number one.
Number one. Straight from the agave plant. Number one.
Then sugar is low?
Yeah. It's low sugars. It's as about as natural. You know, vodka is good for you too, straight from the potato. Gin is good for you too.
Okay.
Bourbon, bad.
Yeah.
A lot of
Murph drinks that.
And I love
so
bourbon
you know.
Too. Well, he asked me, he goes, and we're going to get to the Giants and Bay Bridge series, and Mets just left town. We're recording this Friday. Niners, Draymond and KD. We're getting tons of stuff to talk about. But he asked me one of my last sessions, he goes, what do you do to, like, relax? What's your poison, you know? Because he's like, me personally, I have a glass of scotch on the rocks, and scotch is not bad for you.
Okay.
And I said, oh, Doc, I love Dove Manhattan. And he goes,
oh, Doc.
He goes, well, he goes, that's not.
That's the worst thing.
That's not advised. So I said, okay. So, anyways, tequila.
Okay.
You're as they say, like on the back of Cheerios boxes, you're being heart smart.
Dude.
Right?
That's how I've, yeah. Now looking back at it, I feel like it was very good for me.
Yeah, but.
Very good. Very good.
But, the agave plant, man.
But all the way from Colorado, I was checking my ESPN app, making sure the Giants had won. And then I saw Kevin Pillar hit his, you know, big bomb, which is what he did when he was here. And actually, I didn't feel too bad about it because at least it was Kevin.
Yeah, but see, again, what happened in the top of the ninth, Jake McGee.
Yeah, you were
talking
about
Jake McGee.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man.
You don't like him.
No, it's not that. It's just like the Crawford thing. I don't dislike Crawford. I don't dislike Jake McGee.
I know.
I think they're wonderful role models and people and great professional athletes. But if there's one thing, and I love this season, it's an amazing season, one of the best seasons in the history of the franchise, but I think Jake can see Jake McGee is a little bit of a concern. That's all. I mean, and he hits Pete Alonso and the wheels kind of came off. So I don't know. I hope, and they're going to roll with McGee. I mean, they're going to roll with him.
To an extent.
Littell, you got to love a little Littell action.
I don't want Rodgers because Rodgers is a contact guy. The ninth inning, you don't necessarily need the contact guy.
Rodgers is a wonderful eighth inning guy.
Leave it
wonderful.
In the eighth.
And then you go from eighth inning, drop down sidearm release point, and have to adjust to a different release point in
gas.
The ninth is great.
Yes.
Can we pause real quick? And you never gave me a Paul Stanley or Diamond David Lee Roth yell.
Oh. I don't know if I could get that high. Hold on.
Come on.
I can't.
Ow!
Ah! No, it's too early. I just got home, Tone. Don't do this to me. And also, my professional ambiance is on the line here. I feel like people are going to judge the Stone Foxes.
Okay.
They're judging right now.
I'm sorry about that.
Stop judging.
Well, you're like, you run the show on the stage. You kind of call people out, and, you know, you're the band leader on stage.
Sure.
What about little James Brown, then?
Well, actually, you know, it's hilarious is you starting the show with your owl, right? Uh-huh. There is this TikTok phenomenon right now.
Oh, TikTok, you don't stop.
That.
Yes.
Yeah, the app
TikTok,
you love.
TikTok, you don't stop.
People are, like, going up behind people while they do dishes and things and, like, blast the beginning of I Feel Good when James Brown goes, wow, right? And it, like, freaks them out. And there's, like, series of videos of people freaking out because that yow is it, like, you know, 11 on an amp or something. It's pretty hilarious.
Have you ever seen James Brown perform?
I never did.
Oh, dude, I saw him once.
You did?
Phenomenal.
Damn.
And it's, you know, I went in there with like low expectations because he was older. Dude,
yeah.
Still dancing like a madman on the stage, calling people out, pointing people for solos.
Really?
You know, doing, he would do like a spin move and then point at the sax player to, you know, to hit a solo.
In a cape?
You know, and he'd be, give it to me, take it to the bridge, you know, all that stuff. No, he would come out in like a velvet cape.
Yeah.
And then they would take it off of him.
Right.
And then, you know, then they would proceed with amazing funk. And it was fantastic. So,
yeah.
James Brown. Back to your Giants. We're recording this on Friday before the Bay Bridge series, which is actually, as Kruko kind of quoted earlier in the week, playoff baseball.
Oh, yeah.
In August.
Yeah.
And basically playoff-type games. Farhan with TKB yesterday on Thursday said, you know, these are very important games for both franchises.
Yes.
And he goes, and wouldn't it be great to see these guys again in late October? That would be like the dream come true for the Bay Area.
If we saw the Dodgers in like the NLCS, I mean,
oh,
this is, I'm just saying.
I know. It's fun to do.
You know what?
But I'm
sorry,
such a superstitious guy.
I shouldn't have done it.
But it is fun to do.
I will say this. For years, I was afraid of the A's. Even when we were really great in, you know, 10 to 16, it always felt like, damn, we're going to lose 2 out of 3 here going to the Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at our roster right now, it's like, oh, yeah, like, I could have seen Tommy La Stella in an A's uniform or a Wade or like those kinds of guys. Like, I always thought of them as like A's guys. You know, those were
yes.
A's kind of players. And now we've got those guys.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the scrappy guys who you cannot take an inning off. You know,
yeah.
Like, you got to play out all 27, you know?
And they grind out at bats.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon Crawford told TKB earlier this week that he was like, you know, the changes I've made in my swing are basically the difference for me.
Yeah.
And I think that that's going into the film room with the hitting coaches and studying your previous swing, finding the loopholes, finding where your swing is too long. Sorry to get too technical, but and then shorten your swing.
Yeah.
But and you look at where he stands and look at where his hands are when he gets into the batter's box and digs in and mm-hmm. where his hands are. It's a short path that he's creating to the ball. And it's really fun to watch. And I know, you know, I got a text from Copeland. Or no, actually, Copeland came out to me on Twitter this week and said, F you, at Creative Tony. And then Murph called me a Twitter lurker.
Oh, a Twitter lurker.
Yeah, I'm a Twitter lurker.
That's awful.
I know.
Well, wait a minute.
I thought it was awesome.
If you're a lurker, what would Murph be? I mean, he's on the Twitter all the time.
Well, he's got a problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
a loiterer.
Do they have therapy for overindulgence in social media?
I don't know. Therapy's good for everyone,
well,
Tone.
Damn right.
Yes.
It's like Bruce Springsteen said, shout out Pauly here, that you're basically taking yourself into the, you're like a car.
Yeah.
And you're going to get a tune up.
That's right.
You know, you're going to get your levels checked, you're going to get your fluids.
So let's take Murph in for his Twitter account.
Yeah, totally.
Good.
But, okay, so, you know, and we've got the stopper going tonight, Friday, Alex Wood going tonight. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we've got Gossman, and then we have Logan Webb. So you said, I want to credit you, man.
Thank you.
You said this last podcast
mm-hmm.
when I asked you guys what one pitcher would you guys want to see, and you mm-hmm. said, hey, like Bumgarner, wasn't afraid of the limelight way back when.
He was a rook.
That Logan Webb is the guy you would pick. And I got to say, especially in his last outing, man, he had a great outing until, what, the eighth inning, and he gave up a two-run home run. But what I love about Logan Webb, not just the command he has over his pitches right now, but I love the pace that he's pitching at. He keeps the game moving.
It's straight out of the Wood playbook.
Totally. I mean,
they said, go watch Alex Wood pitch right now, Logan. Mm-hmm.
You want to make a hitter uncomfortable? There's two ways to make a hitter uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Either take obsessively long.
Which nobody likes.
Nobody likes. But I, you know, back when I pitched, I used to do that just to mess with, you know.
I could see you doing it.
Or because I didn't have the physical talent to overpower people.
Well, you're a good hitter.
But I had to play head games, though. Okay. You know, when I pitched, I didn't have the talent to overpower people, so I had to try to get in your head. Mm-hmm. And then, but that's one way to piss them off is by taking too long. Another way is to be
on top of them,
back on the mound with the ball, ready to roll. And he hasn't even dug back into the box yet. The hitter hasn't even dug back into the box. You're sending a message to the hitter saying, get the F back in the box. And this is my plate.
Well, totally.
And this is my at-bat, not yours.
Right.
And let's have some fun.
Well, and Kirk Reeder, I don't think he would have been nearly as successful if he hadn't been a fast worker, too.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I mean, he didn't really have – he had good stuff, mm-hmm. but he didn't have the velocity. He had to keep the pace going.
He was a master of the mental game of baseball, right?
But Logan Webb, in fairness to comparing him to Reeder, totally different pitchers. Logan Webb has some amazing swing through stuff.
And he does.
His velocity is awesome, too.
He does, absolutely.
I mean, he's special.
Combine that with his pace of play, because that's the beauty. Yeah. That's the beauty of being a pitcher, is that mm-hmm. you dictate the pace of the game.
Oh, yeah.
And the way that Logan Webb dictates the pace of the game and keeps it moving is something that keeps everybody on it keeps the defense definitely engaged and on their toes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it keeps you're almost making the hitter feel a bit rushed.
Right.
And hitters don't want to feel rushed.
Right.
Remember Nomar Garcia-Para with the whole batting glove routine?
Oh, my God. Like,
you know, and I've heard stories of umps telling hitters, get in the box.
Yeah, totally.
Get in the box. Especially now how they want to speed up the games.
Yes.
So, you know, Logan Webb, shout out to Shannon Kaler. He called it last week.
Shout out to me.
Well, Paulie and I were talking Cueto, and, you know, it's kind of like you're picking grapes for wine, and you're looking at all these beautiful grapes to pick, you know, and you can't lose, right?
But, okay, that's a really great analogy, yeah.
Well, I've been drinking a lot of wine lately.
Oh man. And tequila, evidently. Yeah.
Shout out to Domenico Winery in San Carlos, man. Well, it's a tiny little winery in San Carlos, and they have a osteria where they make great pizza, but we're members there, and they let us go in and bottle. We bottled our own wine.
That's pretty cool.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Like, I've never experienced anything like it.
That's
so
sweet.
We've been drinking a lot of wine because we have a little bit surplus of wine right
now. Well, you know, I always appreciate a bottle, Tone. You could bring a bottle next time.
Back to the underlying theme of the podcast, okay. It's also good cardiovascularly.
That's true.
The flavonoids.
We're all about that.
Flavonoids, Shannon.
Well, as a pacemaking man, a man with a pacemaker at the age of 33, I agree that a cardiologist and a glass of wine are good things.
Absolutely. But if you abuse it, it's not good.
No.
Right? Because then you go into too much sugar. You go into too much, a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips, Shannon.
It is so sad going into an appointment and they say, oh, you haven't been exercising, have you? And it's just so sad. It's a sad thing.
But that's what they're paid to tell you. That's their job, to be upfront, honest, not sugarcoat things. It's like a coach. It's like, you know, I was thinking about this with Kapler. Like, they've made so many transactions this year, sending players up and down, and how many uncomfortable conversations he's had to have with players, sending them back and forth. And, like, they just had to send Jay Jackson back to Sacramento. And,
man,
like, these kinds of conversations.
Good players.
But I admire Bochy had to do it. Obviously, every manager has to do it. But I would love to be a fly on the wall for those conversations to see how, because I envision Kapler being very positive in those meetings and saying, hey, you know, we brought you up. You did this good. You need to work on this. Go down here, work on that, and we're going to get you back up here. Like, but those conversations are not easy, but Kapler would be doing a disservice to any of these players if he kind of just sugarcoated everything.
Yeah, he would. Know? Yeah, I really enjoy all of the accolade that these coaches are receiving. I think it's so well deserved, and it's so innovative. I mean, they really are on the cutting edge. And, you know, I don't love everything that tech companies and stuff like that have done to the Bay Area, but I like our baseball team kind of being on the cutting edge. Right. I feel like that fits us.
Well,
or just that we're different, and I like that. San Francisco should be weird and a little off and a little doing things that other people don't do.
You know, it's funny you mentioned weird. My kids call me weird sometimes, and I always say thank you.
Right.
I go, thank you.
Thank you.
And they look at me like, what? And I go,
thank you. Do your damn homework.
I said, weird's a compliment. You know? Keep Portland weird as a bumper sticker. You've seen those up there. Keep San Francisco weird. But you're right about being in the world's capital of technology.
Yeah.
It's only fitting that the baseball team would be at the forefront of the technological advantage.
Yeah.
Right? Or taking advantage of the technology. Brandon Crawford, again, with TKB earlier in the week, said that he's amazed at how much information he is given on a daily basis, helpful information that he's given on a daily basis. It's pretty fascinating to watch what the data. Oh, boy. Sorry. I just got stopped in my tracks because Lee Hammer just peeked his head. And I don't.
He's kind of scary looking. He's kind of got a Humpty Dumpty thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of frightening.
That's a great call.
Just a little.
But one of the things, like, you want to talk about silver linings of COVID?
Yeah.
Is that I didn't have to see Hammer.
Oh, and no more bad jokes.
Right, no more. Oh.
These jokes are terrible.
So just a little, before we take a break here for the wits, Steve Moskowitz with Paulie. Shannon is right, because before COVID, Shannon and I would be here in this studio, and Hammer would come in probably once a day.
Yeah,
And just lay jokes on us that were horrible, horrible, horrible jokes.
And we would never do that to you, the audience. We would never put you through that.
No. And then then you have to give, like, kind of a courtesy laugh.
Wait a minute. That wasn't a courtesy laugh. That was real.
Yeah,
right. What I just did was real.
Yeah, but you'd have to give a courtesy laugh to Lee Hammer.
Oh, yeah, and those are like...
Lee, I got to get back to it, Lee. Have a good day.
Yeah.
All right, so
maybe
anyways.
Maybe we should come back with the wits, and then we'll go on the other side. Maybe talk a little Niners, you think?
Yeah, a little Niners and a little KD Draymond.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that Warriors stuff.
Yeah, I know you do. Yeah. Dubs, dubs, dubs.
You know, I'm a great basketball player, Tom.
Why don't you take us out to break as I give you a Paul Stanley yell. Ow!
You're listening to the Paulie's Podcast Without Paulie on KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Paulie Mac Podcast. We are sitting here today prepared to welcome in our good friend Steve Moskowitz, who also happens to be our proud podcast sponsor. But more importantly, he's been a friend of mine for over more than 10 years now in the Bay Area. Steve and I have done business together. We've broken bread together. This is a good man here, and he's got good answers regarding a lot of different tax situations. In fact, Steve, as I welcome you in this morning, I think there's nothing that scares our listeners and just general working stiffs more than hearing the IRS is rolling out this new collection program, and some of the descriptions I've heard of this program are intimidating and heavy-handed. That's the kind of language that scares not only me, but a lot of us, Steve. How are you today?
I'm fine, but I want your listeners to be fine, too.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. This is all part of a big plan. President Biden is giving away money in the trillions, with a T, and he's told the IRS he wants to double their size, and he wants them to collect trillions, with a T. And right now, the IRS has already hired a lot more collectors and poorly criminal agents.
Wow.
And they're rolling out this new program this month, and the IRS is now threatening to send these agents to knock on your door.
Jeez.
If you haven't paid your taxes or you haven't filed them, and threaten you with criminal prosecution. Can you imagine putting you in the federal penitentiary with, you know, hardened criminals?
Yeah, right.
Who didn't pay some taxes or didn't file the returns. Now, although it has always been a crime not to file a return, not to pay, it's rarely, rarely invoked. But here they're talking about doing this whole program. And then the question is, will they really put you in prison for owing taxes or not filing the taxes?
It's a good question.
And
yeah.
I say, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to find out on my client's case.
There you
it's
go.
It's like if a guy is pointing a gun at you, do you really want to say to him, you know, you don't have the guts to pull the trigger?
No.
Let me see if
don't tempt him.
Are you going to do that in some alley?
Right. No, no.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
Right.
And I don't want you in this IRS alley. So you have somebody that says, you know what? They have this tax way over their head. They have no idea how they're going to pay it. They think they're going to be settled with this for the rest of their life. I'm talking to you. And one of the is all kinds of avenues. And what we're going to discuss today is offer and compromise.
Okay.
Offer and compromise is great. Offer and compromise is where you pay the government part and they forgive the rest.
Wow.
They wipe the slate clean.
Okay.
And even this can be paid in monthly installments.
Nice.
And now this year, a lot of people are going to qualify for offer and compromise that didn't qualify before. And the reason for that, you know, we're still in a pandemic. I mean, you know, we talk about we're getting better, but then there's this Delta variant and other things. And, you know, you didn't have to wear the mask and now you got to wear the mask again.
We're back to the masks. Yeah.
All this restrictions and this and that and show your vaccine card before you can go in someplace.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is a lot of people have lost their jobs.
Yeah.
A lot of people are unsettled. A lot of people are getting less money. It's like Google telling their employees they're going to pay them less if they're working from home. Come on. Come on.
Right.
And you say, well, okay. And the bottom line is, well, wait a minute. You have others that have blown through their savings to live during the pandemic.
Yeah, right,
you have other people that took pension distributions because they needed the money to feed their kids.
Jeez Louise.
And now the IRS says, okay, guys, pony up. And the guy says, hey, the money's gone, you know, feeding their kids, paying the rent.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of people now, this year, 2021, that are going to be eligible for an offer that were not before. And the big deal with the offer is you give the government just part of what you owe them and they wipe the slate clean.
Wow.
And so I'd say, Steve, that's terrific, but I just don't have any money.
Yeah, okay.
There's two ways to do the offer. One way is you give them a smaller amount up front and they wipe it clean. But another way is that lesser amount, you give it to them in monthly installments and then they wipe the slate clean. So the bottom line is what I don't want to have happen is people just say, that's it, I give up, it's hopeless, there's no way.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, clients will say, well, let's let them put me in jail. I don't want them to do that to you.
And no, no.
This new program, I don't want somebody sitting in the federal penitentiary because they didn't pay some taxes or didn't file a return. There's such a good solution here, but don't stick your head in the sand.
No.
And I don't, if I can avoid it, I don't want to be representing somebody telling the judge, please don't put my guy in the federal penitentiary. You know, he's got a wife and kids to support.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to go through that. What I want to do is I want to make a deal. Think about it where you say, look, we give them a little something. They wipe the slate clean. That's so much better. Don't stick your head in the sand.
I got to tell you, Steve, just for our audience listening in, this is why Steve always sounds so relaxed, because he's confident in the information that he has. So while guys like me, I might get worried, Steve, let's let Steve do his job and protect us and go to work for us. And all you got to do to become one of those people is give Steve a call and have that initial conversation. Start the dialogue with Steve by calling 1-888-TAX-DEAL. That's 1-888-TAX-DEAL. You let Steve know your situation. You let him know. And this kind of offer and compromise deal is something that could really benefit a lot of people. Start the payments. Let Steve set that up for you and get you guys on the road to recovery. Also, visit Steve's website and get a lot more information about Steve's operation there. MoskowitzLLP.com is where you can visit Steve online. Steve, listen, man, great stuff today. Thank you for this information. And thank you for doing all this great work on our behalf. You stay safe too, my friend. Stay masked up, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Paulie, it's my pleasure, and I want all the listeners to keep listening to you on KNBR, the sports leader.
Woo! I don't know. That wasn't as good as yours.
Okay, not bad.
It wasn't an ow. Not it was bad. More of a woo.
Not bad. We're working on Shannon's Paul Stanley, Diamond David Lee Rothiel for his onstage performances coming up.
I'm working on my onstage woos.
This is the Paulie's podcast. Paulie's not here. He took his son to college. Shout out, Tommy. And he'll be back next week. I think next week we're going to bring on Michael Nash from Sound Summit, talk about Sound Summit a little bit. Soundsummit.net. If you want to get tickets to see Lucas Nelson, Promise of the Real, on the top of the Mount, at the Mount Tam Amphitheater on the top of Mount Tam, a whole a bill of bands playing from like 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., I believe.
It's the best.
It is a phenomenal Bay Area day.
It's the best.
Get up to the top of the mountain. And it also is a benefit for the mountain.
Yeah.
So your money is going to a good place. You're going to see great music. Shannon's performed up there twice, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And it's just a good thing. So Michael Nash next week from Sound Summit. But this week, Paulie is out. Shannon and I are holding it down. You just heard from the Wits. Take your tax advice from the Wits, Steve Moskowitz. Secondly, Giants A's Bay Ridge series about to get underway. We're recording this Friday. Thirdly, Niners Chargers on Sunday.
Yes. Practicing now.
Trey Lance supposedly is supposed to get more reps with the first team.
Joe Staley's out there looking trim.
I heard Matt Maiocco say that he didn't even realize.
I saw pictures.
Yeah, he looks good. Maiocco teased something about Staley becoming part of the media coverage of Niners, so I'm guessing he's going to do something on TV pre or post on NBC Sports Bay Area. That's just a guess.
Everybody does something on TV.
Well, he
everybody
has,
except for us. Why well, we are we have, on TV?
We have faces for radio, Shan.
No, we're hot.
No, come on. I don't believe so, buddy. I'm 5'8", short, hairy, and bald.
I'm balding, so.
Well, you are.
Slightly.
You definitely have male pattern baldness. Definitely do.
It makes me happy.
It makes me happy. Because, you know.
Okay, we're moving past this subject. I'm insecure about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Isn't it tough?
It's not easy.
It's not easy.
Because the sides are very poofy, and I have to get them trimmed.
Time to just, if you can't beat them, Shannon, join them. Time to buzz it.
Anyway, while Paul is
808
out.
808 KMBR. Should Shannon buzz his hair? 808 KMBR.
While Paul is out, I just want to sing some praises about Trey Lance. Because I didn't, because I know it was last Saturday, so we didn't podcast or we haven't talked since we saw him throw across the field.
The 80-yard dime.
And I'll be honest, I watched that game to watch him.
I think a lot of people watched that game for the same reason.
Yeah, and I liked it. And I know that they didn't have him run because they're protecting him, and the second, you know, the second offensive line is really leaky and not so great. I don't know, man. I'm just pretty pumped for whatever special packages Shanahan throws in. He should not start. I'm not saying that.
I'm just saying that
I'm excited for whatever wrinkles Shanahan comes up with.
I mean, if you're going to go that route, I'm going to say Jimmy G looked pretty damn good, too. I mean, Jimmy G was leading the team on a drive, and then it got called back for offensive PI.
Can I call BS on Jimmy G with his high five and smile after that
absolutely,
big pass?
No, you can't. No, he
yes,
is
I
a
can.
Good, wholesome, he happy knows. Guy.
He and, knows that the cameras are on him.
No,
he
but
knows.
He also said, why would I be pissed when our team just scored a touchdown? Why would I be pissed?
Oh, yeah, why?
No,
why?
But come on. That's being a good role model, dude. I'm trying to teach good sportsmanship to my kids, and that is like, I even said to Dom and Olivia, my kids, look at Jimmy G. He's high-fiving the quarterback who's trying to take his job. Like, come on. Don't go there, Shannon. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't knock a man, dude. He's trying. Jimmy G is putting his best foot forward right now.
I know.
You should
just
commend him.
Don't you think that there is at least a part of him that was like, damn.
No.
No?
I think there was a part of him like, well, wow, damn, that's impressive.
But you think he said damn instead of damn.
Yes, I do. And I honestly think Jimmy G, I think he seems like a very classy guy, very well-raised, a morally sound human being that maybe he dated a porn star, but that's okay. nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But I will say that I think that he feels so lucky to be doing what he's doing for a career. And, of course, he wants to be the guy.
Oh, yeah.
He
should be somewhere.
Yes.
If not here.
Yes. And I think he might know that in the back of his mind that, hey, I'm just doing the best I can. And it's out of my control if this guy comes in and is like, you know, Superman and the next Mahomes. I can still play the game of football very well.
Yeah.
Especially if I get protection, which I hope he gets protection. But I want to say about the Trey Lance thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, that play was impressive. And his arm looks great. And he's very agile. And mobility, amazing. But, again, it's preseason.
And of course.
The defense isn't showing you much.
No, they're not.
It was week one, And even this Sunday when he plays, he's going to get more snaps. And if he does great, it's awesome. But again, let's not overvalue it.
Would you say that the real value for football players of the preseason is purely a physical hit thing? Like they need the reps of feeling getting hit?
I don't know, man.
Because they're not getting that at all in practice.
I think the motto for a player, if I was a player, is don't get hurt.
I mean,
I'm watching Hard Knocks on HBO right now, and mm-hmm. it's the Cowboys. And by the way, if you do happen to have HBO, check it out. It's so well produced. It's so well made. Every year I watch it, and I'm like, God, these guys. Even the Cowboys.
Okay.
Even probably more so the Cowboys because they're like the Cowboys, you know, the hated Cowboys.
Yeah.
But, you know, they show these players like Dak Prescott come back. He's super amped to be back.
Yeah.
And they showed the scars on his ankle and all the reconstructive surgery he had. And then, like, a few days in, he had, like, a tweak in his arm.
Mm.
And so then everybody kind of freaks out. Like, you got – and Mike McCarthy, the coach, was like, you got to be kidding me. Like,
jeez.
So everybody's like, shut it down. Shut it down. We are not messing with this. And it's just a weird mentality to have when in a sport where you need to go – full throttle all the time.
Right.
So I'm wondering if preseason football is just not a good idea. And you just do these scrimmages like the Niners did all week with the Chargers and that kind of stuff. If nobody's playing preseason football, then everybody's starting on week one in the same place. And everybody's at least much healthier.
Let's do 18 games in the regular season and no preseason then, maybe.
Okay. There you go.
I mean, they're probably going to get there at some point.
Shannon Goodell.
That's me. Hi. I'll be signing all of your footballs. My signature will be on there.
Will you be getting a $44 million bonus every year?
Yes, and yeah. I'll make sure that all of my employees don't see any raises.
Yeah, and side with the owners all the time? Is that what you're going
to
do, too?
And can we get back to being to filing as a nonprofit?
Oh,
I liked that.
Totally.
That was cool for me and my pals.
Talk about pulling the wool over everybody's eyes.
That is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
You know who I actually have a good feeling about? And maybe it's because of Kyle Shanahan's system, but is that kid Trey Sermon out of Ohio State, the running back, part of the Trey area.
Well, Shannon. Mostert and him, I mean, that's incredible.
And Mostert, see now, I like that Mostert's not playing much right now because and Trent Williams not playing much. He's not going to play, I don't think, the rest of the preseason because of his knee, and they just drained fluid out of his knee. But I just don't. These players mean so much for the regular season, and contractually they're worth so much. And anybody that goes down in the preseason, could you imagine losing, say Trey Lance, I shouldn't even say it, but could you imagine?
Oh, I know.
That'd be brutal. Or Ayuk, Debo, Kittle,
you know. But then you listen to John Lynch, and he's saying, you know, it really sucks to have to play these first few games with your starters because, wow, what if they get hurt, blah, blah, blah. But it is really bad for the last 10 or so on your 53-man roster who are fighting for these spots.
Right.
And as these preseason games become less and less and as, they see less action and coaches, they're not really seeing as much on the field, it's really hard for them to judge with these last few roster spots. So it kind of sucks to be that guy who's really on the cusp.
Yeah, maybe beginning of camp, you'd already make a decision on your offense and defensive starters, and then those are guaranteed, and they don't have to be. And then the rest of it is like a duke out at camp for the rest of those positions. I don't know.
Well, now you're also going to be co-commissioner now.
Yeah, Tony Goodell.
What?
Tony Goodell.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
Or Roger Ryan. I'm sorry, that was bad.
No, I did like that.
That was bad. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to talk Draymond and KD just a little bit.
I don't know if you're going to. Okay.
Yeah. I just want to say this real quick.
Mm.
I loved the interview.
Yeah, I liked it too.
And I really love that these guys who, talking about where a lot of their co-stars, you know, Harden and Westbrook and these guys with chips on their shoulders, mm-hmm. are kind of misunderstood, Kyrie. That their personal history is hard,
mm-hmm.
That where they come from might be a hard place, and to fight their way all the way to being the guys in the NBA, there's only 15 spots, you know, to be on each team and to be the stars or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's hard to do it. I loved all of that. At the same time, I thought it was a little cheap. I thought it was not fair because that's on them. That's on Draymond and KD to get in a room and do it yourself.
Absolutely. Don't throw Kerr and Myers into
this. No Steph mention at all.
No. I enjoyed the candor of that interview, and I really like Draymond asking KD some serious questions about just not just about their squabble, but about life and about basketball and his future and everything. And it was really, I really enjoyed it as well. Well, the only part I didn't enjoy, or I shouldn't say didn't enjoy, but I was just kind of like, what? Mm-hmm. It was the part about Steve Kerr and Bob Myers. And it's like, don't put it on them. That was a competitive squabble between two guys that want to win at all costs.
I think it's dumb for them to have asked him specifically, you have to apologize. Either fine him because you think you should, or just tell him, we think you need to go make this right.
Draymond could have said, I got you, let me handle this. And I love Draymond.
Yeah.
But he even admits in the interview that sometimes he's out of his mind. That sometimes he goes too far.
Sure, yeah.
Sometimes
KD said it too, which I liked.
That they all have their
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got their
Tone.
And so, well, you know, I'm just quoting them.
No, just a quote,
but,
no problem.
But my thing is that he could have taken that two ways. He one way he took it was, I'm offended that you would even, you know, tell me what to say. And da-da-da.
Right.
Or the other way is, I get it. This is very important, and it's bad optics for the organization. It's bad mojo for the team, for the chemistry. Fix it.
Right.
He could have taken it that way too. I don't look at that as like some offensive request by the or demand by the Warriors.
Okay.
Because, by the way, I mean, they do work for the Warriors.
Yeah. Can you tell a grown person apologize? You do that?
You can. Maybe it could have been a message could have been given differently from management as well.
I feel like it should have been for your conduct and what you did to our brand doing that. Mm-hmm. We're going to fine you and we're going to suspend you, and you need to go make this right. We don't care how you do it. You need to go handle this.
See, but again, this is all in the information age, man. Back in the day when there was no internet, these fights probably happened all the time.
Oh, of course.
But they were never a big deal. Because they were handled.
He did it on the court, though.
They were handled behind. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But they were handled behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a big, huge deal made. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
The Jordan and Pippen stuff from way back when.
Jordan clocking Kerr.
And Jordan, yeah, totally.
I mean, and Kerr hitting a bit. You know, I mean, the whole thing.
Yep. I sure hope that this doesn't, and I don't think it will. Bob Myers being the GM that he is, and Kerr being the stand-up guy. They're all stand-up guys.
Yeah.
And I think that Kerr will get out in front of it if he has to, and same with Myers. And I don't think it will have this long ripple effect. I think
they're just going to let it be.
Mm-hmm.
Because we haven't even heard it. We haven't heard from him at all yet.
When I find myself in times of trouble.
Oh. Let it be.
Oh, man. You know, that's a great segue to the musical assignment portion. Thank you.
Maybe
you should cover that, by the way.
Ooh, you know what we did cover in Colorado?
What?
We did a really kind of punk, not like speed punk, but just like a really rough and tumble version of Like a Rolling Stone.
Nice.
And you know what, man? That I was really nervous because, you know, that's either like a home run or it's really cliche.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned into something really special.
That's
it was
fantastic.
Really cool.
Good for
it
you guys.
It was fun. It was just so fun to play.
When you say we covered, I just want to remind people, the Stone Foxes were up in Crested Butte gigging. First gig in, 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Congratulations being
Thanks,
back on the stage.
Dude.
More gigs from the Stone Foxes coming up.
Alameda, September 25th.
That's right. And then right into the into My Morning Jacket at the Greek Theater, September 25th.
Are you going to do it?
That's my double bill for the day, pal.
You better.
Yes, so take us to the bridge.
Oh, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. Oh, you foreshadowed. It's time for the musical assignment, and that's brought to you and supported by Community Music Center, which is a nonprofit in San Francisco, providing music education for everyone since 1921. Check them out, sfcmc.org.
Mm-hmm.
So today, take us to the bridge. We've got the Bay Bridge series going on.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about songs that either have the lyric bridge in them or for listeners who know, bridges are a part of a song that kind of are segue parts, or they definitely are hooks most of the time in big pop songs and stuff like that. But a bridge is a really important part of a song that happens in most songs. And you can say, oh, I love this song because of that bridge or because of a lyric.
Into the weeds. I love it.
A little bit.
I love it. Into the weeds. And Shannon, I know that you are a big fan of the bridge trophy that is up for grabs this weekend.
I am?
Yes.
Oh.
Don't you have a poster of it above your bed?
Stop. Stop. Shannon and I, yeah, we have a beautiful poster.
Of the bridge.
Of the bridge trophy.
Yes.
I hope we win it.
Oh, the highly coveted bridge trophy. All right, so what we're going to do here is I'm going to go, then you're going to go, and then we're going to, Paulie's going to pick a song.
Oh, okay.
In absentia.
Did you text him?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, we'll pick for him.
So I hate to be so predictable and go with like a super popular song, but I think this is big because it's the Bay Bridge series, and but I'm going to go with Under the Bridge by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh.
And, you know, it's overplayed on the radio, but it actually is a really good song when you actually listen to
It's a great call.
The song itself and the construct of the song. But also, they're from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers are clipping at the Giants' heels.
Oh, my God.
Farhan has been involved with the Giants, A's, and Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And the bridge being the Bay Bridge. And Under the Bridge, the song from the Red Hot Chili Peppers L.A. band. So I'm trying to incorporate Giants, Dodgers, A's all in
connected.
One little nutshell. Yeah, or nugget. Yeah.
Nutshell.
Yeah, I like
nugget.
No, nugget's better. Like you have, you know, you clip nuggets off a weed plant. And just
our guy Brian bought some nuggets in Colorado.
Good for him. You're going to get good nuggets in Colorado. You're going to get good nuggets in the high country of Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so I'm going Under the Bridge, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That's a great call. Excellent. I like all the connectivity.
Yes.
I'm going to go with a lesser known band. They were pretty cool, like, and, well, I still think they're pretty cool. You know, my brother used to go out and see them at Du Nord when they were kind of getting bigger and kind of growing up. And like,
that's Cafe Du Nord on Market Street.
Correct. Yes. And they're revamping right now. Mm-hmm. Look out for their return.
Mm-hmm.
They're called the Red Walls.
Nice.
And they're from London, from the UK. And they got one record on a big record label. I think they were Columbia or something like that. And that was it. It was just one record, and they got dropped. But I thought it was a great record. And they have a song called Build a Bridge.
Nice.
Build a bridge and bring both sides together.
Sweet.
It's really cool. They're very Beatles-y. But anyway, I think you'll like it. Red Walls, Build a Bridge.
Fantastic. Paulie's selection, I'm just throwing this out there, and nothing to do with your topic.
Oh, okay.
It has everything to do with Paul Stanley. And
God, this whole ticket giveaway for Kiss is taking over the waves.
Well, I asked Paulie because I made a promo for him earlier in the week, and I said, and I know Kiss's library pretty well, but I knew Paulie would know it even better.
Sure.
And I said, just what song do you want me to use for the promo? And he said, Shout It Out Loud from Kiss Alive 2. So... Shout It Out Loud is Paulie's musical selection this week from Kiss Alive 2. And it ends with Paul Stanley saying, We love you! You know it. Shout It Out Loud. It's a good tune.
It's cool.
Good tune. Yeah, man, it's great. Oh, great. So, Paulie, we missed you. Paulie, we'll be back next week. Shannon Kaler, myself, Tony Ryan, we will be here as well. Paulie will be leading the show. And that puts a wrap on this week's Paulie's Podcast.
Peace out.
You've been listening to Paulie's Podcast with Paulie Mack of KNBR's Murph and Mack Morning Show. This is the KNBR Podcast Network on KNBR, the sports leader.